The food they had been served was strange. The aboriginal fruit was all odd shapes with a mildly spicy flavouring, but at least there wasn't any vat meat like they had at the Arcology. After the high tea, the staff served for the kids in the big canteen at one end of the dormitory. She went back to the riverside to see if she could spot any aboriginal animals. She remembered the venal, something like a cross between a lizard and a monkey. It featured predominantly in the didactic memory which the LDC immigration advisory team at the Orbital Tower base station had imprinted before she left Earth. In the mirage floating round inside her skull, it looked kind of cute. She was secretly hoping she'd be able to have one as a pet once they reached their allotted land upriver. The embankment was a solid wall of Bitech polyp, a dull apricot in colour, preventing any more of the rich black soil from being chewed away by the frighteningly large river. It was thrilling to see so much Bitech being used. Jay had never met an Edenist, although back at the Arcology, Father Varhus had warned the congregation about them and their soulless technology of perverted life. But using the polyp here was a good idea. The kernels were cheap, and the coral didn't need constant repairs the way concrete would. She couldn't see the harm. The whole universe was being turned upside down this week. She slid right down the sloping wall to the water itself and started walking, hoping to see a Xenoc fish. The water here was almost clear. Wavelets, lapping on the polyp, sent up sprays that charred her bare legs. She was still wearing the shorts and blouse that her mother had made her carry in the Zero Tau pod. A lot of the other colonists in Group 7 had spent the morning chasing after their gear in one of the warehouses, trying to find more practical clothes. Everyone had been envious and admiring of her and mother yesterday. That felt good. So much better than the way people back in the Arcology regarded them. She pushed that thought away hurriedly. Her boots splashed through the shallows, the water droplets slithering off the shiny coating. There were a lot of big pipe outlets venting into the river along with the drainage gullies, which were like medium-sized streams, so she had to be careful as she dodged under the pipes not to get splattered by the discharges. Up ahead was one of the circular harbours, 600 meters in diameter, also made out of polyp, a refuge where the larger boats could dock in calmer waters. The harbours were spaced every kilometre or so along the embankment with clusters of warehouses and timber mills springing up on the ground behind them. In between the harbours were rows of wooden jetties sticking out into the river which the smaller traders and fishing boats used. The sky was growing darker again. But it wasn't rain. The sun was low in the west, and she was getting very tired. The day here was awfully long. She ducked under a jetty, hand-stroking the black timber pillars. Mayope wood, her eidetic memory said, one of the hardest woods found in the Confederation. The tree had big scarlet flowers. She rapped her knuckles against it experimentally. It was really hard, like a metal or stone. Out on the river, one of the big paddle boats was sailing past, churning up a big wake of frothy water as its bows drove against the current. Colonists were lined up along the rails, and they all seemed to be looking at her. She grinned and waved at them. Group 7 was sailing tomorrow. The real adventure. She stared wistfully after the boat as it slipped away upriver. That was when she saw the thing caught around a support pillar of the next jetty. A dirty yellow-pink lump about a metre long. There was more of it under water, she could tell from the way it bobbed about. With a whoop, she raced forwards, feet kicking up fans of water. It was a Xenoc fish, or amphibian, or something, trapped and waiting for her to inspect it. Names and shapes whirled through her mind, the didactic memory on full recall trying to match up with what she was seeing. "Maybe it's something new," she thought. "Maybe they'll name it after me. I'll be famous." She was 5 meters away and still running hard as she could when she saw the head. It was someone in the water, someone without any clothes on. Face down. The shock threw her rhythm and her feet skidded from under her. She yelled as her knee hit the rough, unyielding polyp. She felt a hot pain as she grazed the side of her leg. She finished up, flat against the embankment, legs half in the water, feeling numb all over and sick inside. Blood started to well up in the graze. She bit her lip, eyes watering as she watched it, fighting not to cry.